Everybody, I know most of you arrived last night, but welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time as we continue our kickoff of Yeshivas Ben HaSemesterim, Tavshin Pei Aleph. And I want to thank everyone who's a part of the program. It's really amazing to see close to 80 people who are joining us for this winter break. Rabbi Turetsky, I don't think when we were in Yeshiva, there were 80 guys. Most of which, the great majority of those 80 guys are on campus, keeping the Beis Medrash alive, keeping the Kol Torah and keeping the Ruach strong in Yeshiva, even in the quieter times in between semesters. So, really a Hakar Satov on behalf of Yeshiva for everyone who is here, for all of you maintaining structure and the consistency that will really make sure that you start the next month on the right foot and continue strong through Pesach Mirat Hashem. I want to give a special thank you to Rabbi Turetsky, most importantly, because he was so enthusiastic. As soon as we asked him, he was very happy to join, and we're enthusiastic to have him as the first of the special series of Rebbeim from Eretz Yisrael, who will be joining us for the Zoom part of Yeshivas Ben HaSemesterim this year, Rabbi Turetsky. I have a personal Hakar HaTov as a close friend of many years in Yeshiva. Learned a tremendous amount from him, and many of you in Shalvim and elsewhere have gained tremendously from Rabbi Turetsky as well. He's truly one of the fascinating, multifaceted personalities of and products of our yeshiva, and we're very proud to continue our connection of Torah with him and the connection of the Talmidim through this medium, and Mirat Hashem, hopefully others as well. Without any further ado, thank you so much, Rabbi Turetsky, and bechavod.
I think we should be good. First of all, it's a pleasure. It's really, really great to be able to be here and to see all of you. Because of like a little bit of an emergency dental situation in the Turetsky family, I'm actually in Yerushalayim right now. By the fact. By two friends of ours, all right, Mickey Elman and David Prale, I think, were the ones that started this program probably about 15 years ago, of the idea of staying in yeshiva between the semesters and learning there. And I'm so struck by the fact that sometimes we begin things at a certain stage in life and we never know what ends up happening, but suddenly it's 15 years later and people are still learning as a schus of the things that you do. And it's immensely powerful. I remember the first pump-up speech or the first attempt at selling people to stay in between the semesters, Rabbi Harlap came into Rosenzweig Shir when I was there and made a strong push. He spoke about Yocheved being Ben Achomos and the power of what can happen when people come in and the in-between stages. And it's an amazing thing and an honor to be able to learn with you a little bit tonight. Obviously, a lot of very familiar faces, and it's awesome. It's awesome. I wish that we could do things live, and I wish that a lot of things were different. But to be able to be here from a distance and still to have a certain connection is certainly something which is it's very, very powerful for me, and hopefully a little bit of a good opportunity. I want to do something which I think is a little bit interesting. I can't say that all the Mekoros we're going to quote are Mekoros that you're not going to be that you won't be familiar with. Many of them, I imagine you may, but I want to frame things in a particular way and try to like explore a topic, which I think is often not perceived as really being a topic in a certain sense. And I think that there's a lot to sort of reflect upon. Our world is a little bit complex. We know that there is MS and that there is Sheker. Chazal tell us that the world that we live in is referred to at times as the Alma de Shikra. It's a world in which sometimes there's a tremendous amount of falsehood, which is out there. Not only is there MS and is there Sheker, but as many of us, I'm sure, are aware, it is often very challenging to determine what really is MS and what is Sheker. Sfas Emes writes in Parshas Toldos as an example that, you know, you can have people who typically lie that suddenly are the kinds of people that are saying something which is true. You can have people that are not shakranim. They're people that, generally speaking, are very, very honest. And sometimes they misspeak, or sometimes they share a particular thought, which is not per se considered to be MS. And it's very hard to know and to navigate what's really considered to be MS, what's really considered to be Sheker. It's one of the great challenges. The Rambam writes, I think, even in the beginning of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, a mitzvah of knowing which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher. And I think the Radvaz writes in Shuvas, that it's not just that we want to know what's kosher, what's not kosher, so that we can make sure to eat things that are good for us to eat, but rather there's inherent value sometimes in knowing the difference of what's MS and what's not MS, of knowing what's good and what's not good. Some suggest that the mitzvah of Havdalah is not at its core a mitzvah about knowing the difference between things that are real and things that are MSic and things that aren't. And if it's true in a certain sense, as it is, if it is true in the world of learning, it's true in so many areas of life. We want exposure and we want the opportunity to see and to be with things that are real and authentic. You know, to have people use these catchphrases all the time. Relationships that are real, not relationships that are fake. Experiences that are authentic, not experiences that appear less than authentic. So I thought it would be appropriate, at least potentially, to reflect upon the way that, we'll see how much time we have to go through, two or three of Gedolei Olam, related to the question of finding and discovering MS in Torah. We're going to reflect upon and learn a little bit of the Torah and the perspective of the Gra. And we'll speak also, hopefully, about the world of Reb Chaim, and hopefully we'll have time to speak also, even if just a little bit, about the Chazon Ish and the way that they related to MS, to the path to discovering MS, to the role that plays my perception of MS in the world of Halacha Lemaisa, and navigating something which is not good versus bad, but within the good. It's true in a certain sense. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, the Gemara tells us. But sometimes in the course of a sugya, not everything is necessarily considered to be together elu ve'elu. A person comes out with a sefer 20 years ago and he printed his notes. Is everything in that sefer, because it's in a published book, considered to be together elu ve'elu? So most certainly not. And part of our job is what is and what isn't in that category, or what's included in the shifim panel of the Torah and what's not. And even within those things, how to know what to do lemaisa, how a person navigates this sort of search for MS, which animates and impacts the way that we view so many things. So let me begin by talking a little bit about the Gra, It's an interesting thing. I share this largely as an aside. YU is certainly a place that is, at its core, I think, would identify, at least elements of it, certainly, would identify as part of that Mesorah, which comes from the Gra on downwards. The role of the Baal Shem in the institution is an intriguing question, not for now. And the Gra, at least when I was in YU, I spent a lot of time in YU. I can't say that I walked out with a good understanding of the thought of the Gra, or like the way that he learned. Certainly the world of Reb Chaim was major. The world of Salvechik was major. But the Gra, a little bit less so. And talk a little bit about the Gra and be able to describe things, I think, in what is an intriguing way. And in many ways, I think a little bit of a different way than what you find in elements of Reb Chaim. Let me begin by framing things in the following way. The Gra's great Talmud Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Ruach Chaim, in his commentary on Perkei Avos, has what is a very well-known vort. It's quoted similar ideas in the name of the Gra in a set of tshuvas called Shut HaMeshulash. It's a very beautiful idea. I think it's very famous, and it frames things a little bit. We know, I guess I'll, can I share my screen? Is that something which is nice to do? I don't know, that's like a thing. No, I don't have the option of doing so. There is the Mishnah tells us in Avos, in Perek Aleph Mishnah Dal, Yosef ben Yoezer, Yisrei, Yosef ben Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Kiblu Mehem, that Yosef ben Yoezer used to say, your home should be a home which Chachamim are in, behevi misavik ba'afar raglehem, behevi shosef etzama estivrehem. Behevi misavik ba'afar raglehem often is translated as, you should cleave to the afar, to the dirt of their feet. You should be mevatel yourself in front of Chachamim, because that's valuable to do. Have you been shows with some estivrayim, and a person should be thirsty, seeking out the words of Chachamim. The Chaim Volozhiner there in Ruach Chaim, influenced by the Gra, again, as you know, in Tshuvas, on this particular point, says, what does it mean of having misavik ba'afar raglayim? That word misavik is an intriguing word. And the Chaim Volozhiner suggests, as again, some of us may know this in this Torah, Having misavik comes milashon vayayavik ish ima. That when Yaakov Avinu is fighting with Saro shel Esav, as Chazal tell us, so the word that's used to describe that fight, that wrestling match, that particular encounter, is vayvatzar Yaakov levado vayayavik ish imo. That he fought with Saro shel Esav. And says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that is the pshat, the Gemara tells in Hedrin, that Talmud Torah is hinalima nikra melchama, melchamta shel Torah, that there is a melchama which is taking place right now. And even Avu b'no harav etalmido nasa oivim ze'azeh, as the Gemara tells in Kiddushin and Daf Lamed, that the father and son, Rebbe and Talmud, can begin to fight in the beginning until it's good. And says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the also the Talmud lekabel the rabbo kishayesh lo kushyos aleihem. A Talmud is not allowed to accept that which his Rebbe said, if he has questions on it. And sometimes the Talmud's right. And that's having misavik milashon vayavik ishimo. So inyan misavkut the melchama, ki melchemes mitzvahi. That challenging and taking on the search of MS. So for one of the main yesodos of the Gra described here from Chaim Volozhiner, is that when it comes to the avoda of learning, so sometimes learning can be received passively. Sometimes learning can be, I hear a vort, I was mekabel the vort, and I know that's shtickle Torah, I know what it is, and I have it now in my pocket, and that's one part of Torah. But part of Torah, in particular Torah Shebal Peh, is part of that vayi'avik ishimo. It's an indescribably intense search and thirst for MS, which sometimes requires you to reject and to challenge even those who are far, even those who are far greater, even those that are so much more powerful and more established than some of us. Says of Chaim Volozhiner, the reason why we end having Shosef Itzama Estivreyem is that this Melchama has to be coupled with a degree of anivas. A person has to be humble. A person has to make sure that they're going to be able to do so with a certain sense of humility, to still be thirsty for the words of others. But it's okay if the process gets a little bit heated sometimes. It's okay if there is a little bit of a fight in that search, in that quest for MS. The Gra in his quest for MS took him in two directions. Number one, the Gra was, as some of us may know, in that search for MS, he was, the Shechter wrote a kuntris years ago called Kuntris Be'inyan Psak Halacha, where he points out something intriguing about the Gra, I believe, that when it comes to poskim, you'll find two kinds of poskim. You'll find some kinds of poskim that work under the assumption you can't really find like a raya muhrachas. It's hard to prove that shkia is right at this time. It's hard to prove that this woman is muteres or this woman's asur. It's hard to prove certain things. Hard to prove it's mutter asur on Shabbos. So what a lot of poskim do is they'll have sniff in lahakel. They'll say, well, in this machlokas, it could be like this. That's one reason to be makel. In this machlokas, you have another factor. It could be like that. And they'll combine different sniff and lahakel to say it's hard to navigate for sure, to clarify with certainty what is and was and what's not considered to be okay. But what I can do on some level is I can sort of look together the general impressions in one direction. That is not the Mesorah of the Gra at all. The Gra believed that he could conclusively prove, based on Chazal, when Shkia is supposed to be. And the Gra, therefore, had no problem arguing, and it's a very dangerous thing to do if you're not the Gra, but the Gra had no problem arguing with Rishonim. The Gra would have no problem saying, I know that the Ramban may say that, but I think you could argue differently, and therefore you'll see a phenomenon sometimes. Yeah, I remember there's some video, I think, even, of Reb Chaim Kanievsky being asked this question. Like, you know, it's like a machlokas between the Gra and the Ramban. It's not like the Gra and the Gaonim. And one of these questions, and the Gra understood that in the search for MS, at minimum he was, I think I meant others, but at minimum he was qualified to take that on. Related to that, is that some of us may know that different Rishonim and Achronim have different relationships to the world of Minhagim. When Klal Yisrael are doing something, so how do we relate to it? We know the Mishnah, the Bavasra, and the Beis, although a little bit of a different context there, of Hakol Kiminag HaMedina. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim, I think why you're learning Pesachim this year. The Gemara in the fourth parak, Al Titos Torah Imecha. Place, I guess it's a bit of discussion with Chavos Yara, but the real minhag being described there, Pesachim is. But a certain kind of understanding and commitment to the world of minhagim. But as Tosfos points out in Bava Basra and Daf Beis, not every minhag falls in the category of Akol Kiminag HaMedina. As is often said over in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, you know, minhag is osios gehenim, because certain minhagim, they're not the kinds of minhagim that we want to keep. And the Gra most certainly was in that category of person that was somewhat less bound by what had been the prevalent minhag. And the Gra was comfortable challenging certain things. And if you look at Bir HaGra and Shulchan Aruch, as the Chazon Ish points out, hundreds of times that the Gra is going to challenge what's in Shulchan Aruch, the Gra may have held in that Shuvah and Chodah Meshulash. It's even usher at times to paskin like it if you reject it. Again, if you're qualified like the Gra within the world view of the Gra, not dafka us at all. But for the Gra, there was this like indescribable search for MS that led him to challenge at times what had been the norm. So the Gra is going to say people should be wearing tefillin right now. There's no reason me, it's already nighttime. But for you, there's no reason why not wearing tefillin right now if you're a real Gra neck. And some of the things that, if you remember from Notes of Asad Bezokha to learn in Eretz Yisrael, some of the things that are we relate to as being minag Eretz Yisrael as opposed to being a minag of Chutz La'aretz are really just that the Talmidei HaGra came and they were like koveya a whole lot. So the minag of many places not saying the Shamru on Friday night, could be minag in the YU based Medrash also, which comes from the Gra or saying Baruch Hashem La'olam after Shomer in Marv right before Shmona Esrei. And some of these things are because the Gra in his search for MS, that's where it led him. That's where it led him. That's what it was about. And it's a place that it was able to take him to if you are the Gra. What's, I think, fascinating, and we don't have time to really talk about this, but I raise this as a question. I'll speak a little bit more about Reb Chaim and hopefully the Chazon Ish. But what's fascinating is that the Gra and his incredible search for MS, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner, his discussion about even a Talmud can accept what a Rebbe says, and you have to challenge sometimes, but know how to do so in a way which is humble, but it's okay and it's appropriate at times to challenge. The Gra himself, there's an amazing discussion. There's a big Talmud Chacham here in Eretz Yisrael, Reb David Kamenetsky. Reb David Kamenetsky is the son of Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky from Philly, the grandson of Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb David Kamenetsky is a major Talmud Chacham, and he specializes in the Torah of the Gra. And the Torah of the Gra is one of his real areas. He's written a lot of articles about it. He wrote a sefer, a little bit of a fat sefer, called, it's an impressive work, called Torah Sa Gra. If I remember correctly, from the last farm, I was zocha to buy in this farm store with my father, Zichron Levracha. I was always one of the highlights of many interactions going farm shopping together. One of the last farm that I was able to get with him was Torah Sa Gra by Rabbi Kamenetsky. He has an amazingly intriguing discussion in posting in Chayadam, in Reim Horowitz, one of the great posting of that era, how much you're allowed to challenge the Gra. Meaning, can I use the same methodology as the Gra? The Gra's search for MS to challenge things, so to hear my search for MS has to challenge things, or no. Mine can never parallel the Gra. So what you find, he points out there, is there a postgame that will never challenge the Gra. The only thing they'll do is they'll say, I'll upon him, I want to justify the Rishonim, or an attempt to justify Minaga Olam. So this is what I'm willing to do. But the Gra believed you could prove things conclusively. He believed, therefore, that he was in a position, he was entitled at minimum, to challenge at times the Minaga Olam, to challenge at times certain Rishonim, because this is MS, and this is what we're going to do. And the Gra, certain things the Gra said, he won. Certain things he said, it's what we do in lots of places, all as the result of the Gra. What's interesting also, and this is, if you look in the Hakadama to the Bir HaGra and Shulchan Aruch, in the writings of when his children write a Hakadama, so the Gra wasn't per se so into Lamdas. The Gra was more of a, everyone defines Pshat in their way, but the Gra, you know, not into certain kinds of fancy pupulim, but real explicit rayas from Gemara. But the Gra believed that you could do that. And the Gra bore rayas as the Chazon Ish used to describe. Chazon describes in one of his letters, when he talks about the Gra, you know, he speaks about just the mastery of the Gra in terms of being holding in so many things. And Chazon Ish writes in one of his igros, Chilk Aleph, in the 32nd letter there, that the Gra is in that category of Moshe Rabbeinu to Ezra, to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to Rav Ashi, to the Rambam, to the Gra. And he speaks about the status of the Gra and the Gra's challenge there. That's the Gra, it's like uncompromising search for truth in the world of Torah, the ability that there is something called, I can prove it, it's really a Raya, and this is what it is. I think if we shift gears for a moment to the world of Reb Chaim, I think you find something a little bit different. And again, I think it's supposed to be some sort of a Hashkafa talk, so we're going to use these as models, as Hashem at the end, to share a couple of thoughts. But I think it's intriguing Torah nonetheless. Reb Chaim is a little bit different. Reb Chaim is a little bit different. And you find in the Torah of Reb Chaim, some differences, some different ideas. Undoubtedly, and we'll try to highlight a couple of things. Reb Chaim believed as follows. without going into the Mises, this famous Mises with Kleinman, I think Kleinman tells her about the need to know lambdas to be able to discover MS. That's one part of it, but not for now at all. Brisk is very much into lambdas, into MS. The brisk, things have to be mukhrach. An interesting element of what you find in Brisk's need for MS is an absolute fear of saying sheker. An absolute fear of saying sheker. That it's okay to say, I don't know. The Brisker Rav, they say, you know, for NYU, it's one of Shatter's most like amazing qualities, is the capacity to say, I don't know. You know, there's something very like beautiful about that. And then Brisk, that's, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's better to say, I don't know, than to say something which is sheker. Better to say, I don't know, that saying sheker, speaking falsehood, is something which is very dangerous. They say a Maisa over, the Brisker Rav, when the Imre Moshe, Moshe Sokolovsky, when he passed away, and they were looking for a Rebbe, so the Brisker Rav was interviewing potential candidates. I imagine it's a terrifying, you know, we all have job interviews in life. Sheer in front of Brisker Rav is a scary one, I would imagine. So they say that some certain Maggid Sheer came from the Brisker Rav, and he said over Torah, and he spoke with the Brisker Rav a little bit in learning. Brisker Rav wouldn't hire him. So then he said to him, I don't get why you wouldn't hire me. You know, 80% of the Torahs I say are awesome. 80% of the Torahs I say are great. Okay, to 20%, not so much, but you know, Rove is something. So I think the Brisker Rav responded, I'd rather someone that doesn't say as much good Torah as you and doesn't have 20%, which is sheker. But the 20%, which is not wrong, is something which he was very, very nervous about. So they add an addendum. This is a comfort for people that get shear regularly. I think they say that that a Maggid Sheer once came to the Brisker Rav and spoke in learning, and the Brisker Rav like totally rejected his shtickle, totally destroyed whatever he was saying. And he said back, so the Brisker Rav, so the guy who said over this Torah looked like totally demoralized. The Brisker Rav had, you know, ruined what he was going to say. So he said back to the Brisker Rav, he said, you know, what Brisker Rav said to him, like, why are you so broken? Like, this is the darkest shel Torah. So he said back to the Brisker Rav, no, that was my shear for tomorrow. And you just ruined my shear for tomorrow. The Brisker Rav said with a smile on his face, he said, don't worry, you can still say that shear over. When you're chayef to give shear, you're like a balchov. And the Gemara tells us in Gidin that balchov dino bebenunis, that a balchov can pay back with medium quality, you know, Torah. So it's okay if it's not that much. But in the world of Brit, there's a certain fear of sheker. There's something else also, which I think is really intriguing. Let me go in the following way. Many of us, I think, are probably aware of a line that they attribute to Reb Chaim. I don't know if it's in print ever, like in his Ksav Yad, but it's a line about Derech HaLimud, which is very, very different than what you find in the Gra, and we'll see that it has implications in Pesach also in different ways. The line is that Reb Chaim apparently used to say that our job is just, it's in Yiddish originally, but our job is just to explain the Rishonim. I remember once having a guy in Shir say to me at one point, saying like, you know, are you sure that Shir is really called the Gemara Shir? Shouldn't it really be called a Shir and Rishonim? And Reb Chaim in many ways would have said like, correct. That's what it is. That in a certain sense, one of the challenges you have is that when you're searching for MS, so what are the works that are undoubtedly true? So for the Gra, if it's a Maimer Chazal, it's undoubtedly MS. And you can never challenge a Maimer Chazal to say a Sheker. But if you're talking about, for Reb Chaim, talking about what's called MS, so Rishonim, our job is to explain the Rishonim. Our job is not to argue with the Rambam, our job is to explain a Rambam. Our job is to explain a Ravid. That's our tafkid. What's intriguing about it, I think, is the following. Some of us know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksuvos, the Gemara in Bava Basra also, that Rav was a Tana who upalig. And some of the Rishonim and some of the Achronim wonder, you know, in general, we have this cloud that Amoram can't argue with Tanayim. It's one of the first things that they teach you when you're learning Gemara. You're trying to make sense of how things work. I learned sometimes with my son, who's 12 years old. It's like one of these klalim, like pretty early on, they teach you like, Amoraim can't argue with Tanayim. And you come across this line of like, Rav Tanahu Upalig. So at least me, when I was like first taught this, I don't know if anyone else had this. When I was in elementary school, I feel like the first like month and a half of like sixth, seventh, and eighth grade were like an introduction to Gemara. This is a different era. Like, how do you find like where Rashi is? How do you find where Tosfos is? Like, what's the Ein Mishpat in their mitzvah? I don't know if anyone has these like memories as being a kid, like making your way sort of like around the Gemara a little bit. And like this introduction, they tell you like there are different stages of Jewish history. They're like Tanaim. They're like Mishnah, Brisa, Tosefta. Then there are the Amorayim. Those are the people in the Gemara. Amoram can't argue with Tanayim. That's why we'll ask an Amorayim from Mishnayis, and they have to always be bound by it. And the only way they could answer is either finding like a different Tana, Kitanai, as the Gemara tells us all the time. And Rav, they always tell us, was like this like in-between person. Rav was the person that was able to argue on the one hand with Amo, with Tanayim, and also Amoram could argue with Rav. Rav is Tana Upalik. Okay, an interesting thing. Rav Elchanan writes in Kovei Shiurim to Maseches Baba Basra that he thinks there's a different shot in what it means, Rav Tana Upalik. Says Rav Chaim the following, and I think it's an amazing sort of counter. I don't want to play up too much the contrast, but a bit of a contrast to the world of the Gra. Says Rav Chaim, there is in fact no rule that an Amora can't argue with a Tana. You find similar things if you look as an example, Rambam Hilchos Mamre and the Magen Mishnah there, but says Rav Chaim, there's no rule an Amora can't argue with a Tana. Why not? You read this Hadoros, it's a cloud. Okay. But you read this Hadoros, it's a complex thing in learning. You balance that with Halacha Kibasrai. You balance that with the Tshuva, the Tosfos Rid, that we're according to philosophers, quote unquote, that we are dwarfs on the shoulders of giants. We know what they said. You know, it's a little bit of a question. It's a second Chayim. Amaram can argue with Tanayim. What does it mean that Rav Tana Upalik? What it means that Rav Tana Upalik is that Rav was comfortable, despite in a certain sense, being an Amora, Rav was comfortable arguing with a Tana. So he was like, the Amora didn't buy into that cloud. I can challenge a Tana. I'm early, early Amorayim. He felt comfortable doing so. The same way, as many of us know, that the Gra, again, we said earlier, the Gra felt comfortable. There's no cloud you can't argue with a Rishon. It's that typically people were mekabel upon themselves not to. What you find in Rechayim, which is interesting, is that despite this like indescribable search for MS, this indescribable search to make sure that whatever you were saying is going to be true, Reb Chaim understood that there were certain areas in which it was important to be somewhat humble, to be somewhat limited in who I'm going to argue with. The same thing most Amoraim were mekabel upon themselves. So for Reb Chaim, there are elements of the limitation of not challenging because I don't want to argue the same way. There's an amazing sefer out there. It happens to be, it's super enjoyable. The sefer called Rishteinman. Rishteinman passed away a couple of years ago, one of the real giants in Bnei Brak, real giants in Klal Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called Eleb B'Tamar. His wife's name was Tamar. And they put out a couple of volumes of sort of like his Talmidim writing up certain things. And there's one of the volumes is all about his sort of recollections. I think he grew up in Brisk. And his recollections, he has some like really like interesting things there. One of the things that he writes there, it's in El Tartar's Brisk, it's on the 34 page, if you are so inclined to look it up. He says as follows: there's a Mesorah in Brisk that even though you're searching for MS, Reb Chaim in his Sefer in general does not quote Achronim that much. I think in one place he quotes Tshuva the Chasam Sofer. There's not a lot of quoting of Achronim in Reb Chaim. One thing Reb Chaim would never do is Reb Chaim would never, in a sefer, write about a topic, so they say, that his father wrote on in Beis HaLevi, because he was nervous to argue with his father. Meaning, despite the search for MS, he would never write in the tsugya that his father wrote on. As a parenthetical aside, I don't know how that fits, because I think in the tsugya of B.S. Kulchan, I think that there's a difference between the Beis HaLevi and Reb Chaim, but that's for another time. Now, but that Reb Chaim understood was there a certain limit? And they say a similar thing about the Brisker Rav. That the Brisker Rav, whenever he would quote his father without arguing. Because some of it was a Dina Kibbutz of Aim and things like that. But some of it was that even in the search of truth, so it's not the search of truth where there's only, it's a certain kind of humility. And because I can't argue with Rishonim, so it's a search of truth that comes in the sense of there are certain people that are right and certain people that I can't challenge and certain people that I accept. As a starting point, are saying MS. What they're saying is pure MS. I think, and I'm sorry if I'm misquoting this, but if I'm speaking in a YU context, it's fun to have some YU references. They're talking about a cute mice. That's safe for 11 Tamar and Torah's Brisk. I have a friend who learns in Lakewood that bought that safe for a Schefter. So Schefter, I remember, I think, said once in the summer that after he said that Sefer was unbelievable, I was up, I forget what time he said, but very late at night on Friday night, you know, with that Sefer, it's a really interesting Sefer. But I believe Rutorsky once said, and maybe I'm wrong about this, and if I am, someone who's a Talmud here can check this up with me. Please don't, with him, please not all of you, because else that would be incredibly awkward. But I think Rutorsky once quoted from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik that the din of Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim applies to all Rishonim. When it comes to Achronim, so it's possible the Machlokas close to Sivas could be a Machlokas where they're both Elu ve'Elu Elokim Chayim, but lopped out everything in Achronim is Elu ve'Elu. But Rishonim undoubtedly... undoubtedly are. And there's something, I think, a humility which is there. What does this lead to in the search for MS? What it leads to is a very different orientation as far as Psak. Some of us may be, I'm sure, are familiar with, you know, the Gra had certain kinds of Chumras, and there's also something, you know, Brisker Chumras certainly exist. Some of them are like a little bit more, you know, wild, a little bit more wild, like I was reading recently. I got into, I got into biographies recently. It's a long sort of personal story, how I got into them, why certain biographies I'm reading. But in the biography about Moshe Tversky, as an example, there's a chapter there, I'm surprised they wrote these things, describing some of the chumras of Moshe Tversky, things he was like choshesh for. You know, it's like doing, I think, melicha in a bathtub, but building like a tzuras ha-pesach, by the bathtub, so it wouldn't be like it was part of the Beis HaKiseh, and the chashash that maybe it was bringing food into a bathroom. Like, always an interesting thing that she was in Maestros, a lot of interesting things. One of the classic characteristics of Brisker Chumras is being choshesh for Rishonim, is being choshesh for Shittas and Rishonim. That even though simple Pshat and Shulchan Aruch is like this, I want to be machmir, and therefore, out of deference to an opinion that we may not even necessarily paskin like, I'm going to be machmir for that opinion. That comes from the following realization. I want to act in a way which is emestic. But lav dafka can I say, like the Gra was capable of saying, that I can prove conclusively this is called emes. Lav dafka can I really do so? And in a certain sense, in the quest for real MS, so sometimes what that means is I'm humble enough to say, like, and maybe that sheet of the Rambam that we don't paskin like in Shulchan Aruch, but maybe I should be choshesh for that. Maybe there's an element of MS there, and maybe in that sense I should be a little bit more machmir. So if you look, you know, there aren't so many tshuvas in my, not where they quote a lot of some of these Brisker chumras. One of the resources where you find some of these chumras quoted is Rav Sternbach and Tshuvas Van Hagos. So Rav Sternbach often quotes some of these brisker chumras. So let's say in the end of Chelek Dalet, they have this like really interesting collection of Hanhagas of Reb Chaim that Rav Sternbach quotes. Where you see some of like other brisker chumras are kept inside bris, but some of us may know, you know, that Reb Chaim wouldn't go out on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah a chashash a hotza if he were with a tav katana. He was nervous that there's some shitas that think that Chelas is a fundamental enough part of the mitzvah of tzitzis that even if you don't have tzeles, that going outside on Shabbos is a little bit of a chashash of hotzah, ufi, a diak in the Rambam Shita, there in Hochasha, whatever it is. And things like that, you're being choshesh for particular shitas, which I think are very much there in a little bit of a real way. We have, if my time is, if I'm reading the time correctly, we have about, I guess, 10 minutes or so left. What I want to do with your permission, is shift things a little bit. You know, I don't know, the title was, can you speak about Nani Hashkafa? In my knowledge, the word Hashkafa can mean like literally anything. I don't even know what it means. And if you read enough of Soloveitchik, you're like, oh, real Hashkafa is Halacha. So I can just talk about Halacha even. Like, it's not so clear, you know, what you like, where you're going to go. But I want to try and use this, if I can, as two different models in the search of MS. That we may live with. There are many situations in life where we feel like we are living in, as Chazal described earlier in Alma de Shikra, there are many things in life where it may be challenging for us to identify what's real and what's authentic and what's a little bit fake or a little bit misleading. A person can have that in so many decisions that we're looking for in life. What we're looking for in many ways, if someone could provide us with the truth. Here, I don't mean MS in the sense of how it's often defined as like an accurate description of facts. That's one level of MS. Rav Dessler Mehta Melio uses the word MS as an understanding, not MS in terms of what historically took place or didn't take place, but what, like, LPMS am I really supposed to be doing? What is the true path for me to be able to take? The Yaakov Avinu is described as the Ish MS because Yaakov had a very real and deep understanding for how do you search and discover what you're really supposed to be doing. And I think, at least for me, but I suspect for many of you, that a challenge we sometimes have in life is it is hard at times to discover and to find unequivocal, clear, beyond a shadow of a doubt, MS. And the search for MS is a real search in so many different areas of our lives. And it's sometimes a little bit, which it's something which can be a little bit hard to navigate. I always think, and here again, we'll see what we could do in positive for those of you that have heard me sort of say this before. But many of us know that in halacha, so whenever there are doubts and you're not sure what is the true path that you are supposed to take, so there are halachic mechanisms that we have to navigate those doubts. If you're learning Maseches Chulin or Issur Heter, so much of it is about this. When you say when there's a doubt, when can you invoke Dinim of Bittel? When there's a doubt, when can you invoke Sugyas of Rov? When there are doubts, when do you say Safek Doraisa L'Chomra, Safek Dorabana L'Kula, Safek Brachas L'Hakel? There's so many Sveksveka, Sveksveka L'Hachmir. There's so many different discussions that come up within the world of Rov, within the world of Chazakas. We have so many models of what you do when certain things aren't clear and it's not entirely apparent what way you are supposed to go. And again, defining the word MS like Rav Dessler, what is the MS-tic thing I'm supposed to be doing right now? What is the real thing I'm supposed to be searching for? The way I label it in my head, at least, the Gra represents a certain kind of search for MS, which is, as many of us know, that Acharonim speak about, when you speak about these mechanisms of Rov and Chazaka and Sveksveka, et cetera, as doing one of two things. It's more complicated than that, but for now, one of two things. You can look at an example of an Acharon that does this, Rav Elchanan and Kovi Shirin, Bava Basin, Zimnayin Ches, that there are two different things that you could potentially do. Sometimes you are Mevarer, you eradicate doubt. You can prove conclusively what something really is. You can say with no suffix, this is the right decision and this is the wrong decision. Sometimes we know and we can make choices. It becomes clear to us what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to do. There are certain questions and doubts that we may have if that's Rove for you. So there are certain doubts that we may have and it can become clear to us. It can become apparent with no doubt. This is what we are supposed to be doing. That is the model of search for MS, at least for me in my own mind, which I associate with the Gra. I can prove what I am supposed to be doing. And that means that sometimes in my search for MS, maybe I'm going to be doing things a little bit different than some others. Maybe in my search for MS, I have to be very, very cautious when to invoke this. And it's important to consult and to be hesitant. But there are situations in life where it's clear what the MS really is. And it's important sometimes to be a little bit, confident even. You can clarify certain things. But I think for many, many, many of us, when you start dealing with decisions in life and you start trying to navigate them a little bit, I remember, I'll say this to be entirely open, the Beis Semesterim idea, we opened up in the beginning when it was originally started, like there were questions about it a little bit. Like a lot of people I'm sure here who are listening now were debating about it, and many that aren't, I'm sure, were debating about it. Like, is it the best thing for me? Is it not the best thing for me? In a simplistic way, I don't know, isn't more learning always better? The answer is, of course, more learning is always better than less learning, except for when it's a little more complicated than that. There'll be two levels of kiyuma and the knowledge of when I need a little bit of a break. These are questions that are complicated. And for many of us, in deciding what to do, so I think there's kind of a model of, I can't always conclusively prove. And maybe sometimes I want to be choshesh for different possibilities and different shitas. And then all I can have is not a complete biror, but a little bit of a hanhaga. And sometimes in making choices in life, it won't always be the Gra conclusive proof, but it'll be a search for truth, which is there, which is predicated by a couple of ideas. Number one, I want to avoid sheker. I want to avoid sheker. This fear of like, whatever I do, let it at least be, there's an element of MS which is there. I want to avoid a kind of sheker. And it's a search for MS which says, I can't always know for sure, but I can be humble enough to know who am I certainly not challenging. I can be humble enough to know that my job is at times to understand what people recommend, to use the evidence which is there, and at times I'll be cautious for multiple things. I'm not sure, should I take this job or not this job? And I have to figure out a little bit, can I compensate a little bit? I work as a Rebbe and I give shiurim. I'm offered a job to be involved more administratively. This is a theoretical possibility. And it's not like it's biror, like I need to be doing that. I mean, maybe I want to compensate a little bit, be choshish for both. Maybe I want to start doing something administrative, but also be able to make sure I'm still learning in a certain way. And sometimes we want to search for MS and a kind of MS which leads us to an ability to say, I'm doing that which is right. But the Gruz model maybe requires a Gruz sometimes. And the Gruz model sometimes isn't as clear. And what Reb Chaim represents is saying, let me avoid a little bit of sheker. And let me try to search for a form of MS, a form of truth, which is real, a form of truth, which is I approach with a degree of humility, the degree of humility. And sometimes Reb Chaim Belozner said, in my search for truth, having misavik ba'afar raglehem, v'yavik yishimo, I won't let any, I'm going to go crazy to find out what the MS really is. I'm going to go crazy. But the humility and the comfort and the ability to know sometimes I can't prove on my own, but the Rishonim are right. I can't prove on my own, but there are people who are wiser. I can't prove on my own, but there are people that I can learn from. I can't prove on my own, but there's an MS there which I can really find and discover. And maybe I'll be choshesh, and maybe we'll be entirely clear. Maybe we'll be a little bit more of a hanhaga than a biwar, telling me how to act when I'm not entirely sure, rather than always being able to know everything. In life, sometimes the fact you can't prove conclusively doesn't mean you can't search for MS. The fact that at the end of the day, there's still a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba, and you can't prove Tosfos is right, doesn't mean you can't search for MS, understanding Tosfos and understanding the Rashba. In our lives, the same thing is true also. Where we can search for those things and try to gain a degree of clarity. Let me end by just the way I should have begun. It's awesome to see the faces that I'm able to see. Life is wild and there's a lot to do. And one of the things that we're trying, I think, in many ways throughout our lives is to feel like we're living life with purpose, to feel like the decisions that we're making are the good and right decisions, be that in the world of hashkafa or the world of halacha, be that in the world of personal choices that we may be making. And there's a certain element of almost being like relentless in searching for what that MS is. And being able at times to be confident and have clarity, and being able at times to be able to say, let me be choshesh for different shitas. And let me be able to move and be able to function with what is there. At least for me, I could say, you know, there's always this like tension. On the one hand, like, you don't want to speak about COVID every time you talk, because like, you know, we always say that theme a little bit. At least for me, there's a lot of questions which often come up. And sometimes there's certain things which are bar kishemesh to me. I feel like I can't the gra in a certain sense. And sometimes I'm being a little bit choshesh and I'm trying to navigate and trying to figure it out. And be'ezda Hashem in our search for MS, in what is an alma de shikra, but the capacity, as the Chiddush HaRim used to say, the word olam, world, is milashon he'elim, that certain things are hidden, but the fact that certain things are hidden doesn't mean they can't be found. And the fact that certain things are sometimes a little bit unclear, it's a little bit of a question mark, doesn't mean we can't find what real MS is actually all about. And be'ezda Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam should bless us with the ability to search for MS, to find the form of MS which resonates and makes sense, to do so in a way which can move us in our lives, to move in good directions. Thank you so much. Again, an absolute, absolute pleasure to be able to learn with you, albeit from afar.